Peace be with you always. I'm Alexis, One Ancient Soul, and you're listening to A Vibe Called Lex. On this podcast, I share my personal experiences as a psychic medium, lessons I've learned over the years from my spirit guides, and just overall get out of my head a little bit with all of this. So thank you for tuning in. I truly appreciate you. Now let's dive into today's episode. And don't forget to subscribe. Hello, hello. Welcome to my life. I'm not gonna lie, it's gonna get a little weird. Sometimes it'll even get a little dark. Because this journey of ascension, this journey of enlightenment, this journey of awakening, whatever you call it, it is challenging. You know, I have no idea why people are under the impression that this is easy, that it's fun. There's definitely moments of fun, and you get to a point where things come with ease, but everything on this planet comes with a price. And I gotta tell you, when people ask me all the time, you know, what is it like being psychic? For me, the answer is absolutely crazy. It's crazy. What I do every single day technically defies logic. Could you imagine wrapping your mind around the fact that you have the ability to do things that most people deem impossible? That you get to have conversations with people that have passed away, angels, spirit guides. It's crazy. And for a long time, I really believed that I was schizophrenic. You know, I was in denial. I fought this part of myself. You know, I didn't grow up wanting to be psychic. I didn't study formally. I didn't get certified. I was never taught how to read tarot cards. I've never even had a mentor. You know, no one held my hand in this process. So for me, it's been raw and gritty. And I needed to create a safe space for me to get out of my head and just talk about all of this stuff. Because truth be told, over the years, I've ultimately isolated myself. You know, it's hard to talk to my friends about how my day is when I'm talking to people's dead parents, or I've just swam around in someone's energy and looked at their relationship. You know, I'm having really intense and deep conversations with strangers that I've never met and never seen. And I didn't know how to go from that to, you know, just talking on the phone like a regular person. And just even that journey for myself in really connecting the dots that I'm not a regular person, it took a mental toll on me. And it still kind of takes a toll on me. So yeah, I'm excited to just get out of my head, and I want to be really clear. You know, my intention with this podcast is not to convince you to believe in me. It's not to tell you how things go. I don't override God. There is no psychic on earth that overrides God. But I can tell you that everything that I will tell you is 100% true based on my own personal experiences, channelings, and, you know, shit that I've just witnessed with my two eyes. So I know it's going to sound unbelievable a lot of the time, but I hope that in me being vulnerable and honest, not only will this be completely therapeutic for me, because I really need someone to talk to about all of this stuff, but I hope that it helps other people that may be going through it as well and carrying this load silently like I did for so many years. So yeah, let's just kind of get into it. I really was thinking about where should I start, because this journey for me has been going on my whole life. I know that on a soul level, it is my destiny, not so much to be a psychic. I don't even like that word, but I'm an ancient soul. I'm an oracle, a seer. I've done this before in other lifetimes. So it's to me, I want to communicate as an authentic, intuitive, and especially in a time like this where spirituality has become industrialized and, you know, it's cool now to say words like energy and sage and, you know, even crystals at this point are being so mass produced that a lot of people are creating fake crystals. It's just like, there's a lot of BS mixed in. So I hope that I could just offer some clarity for anybody that's going through their own ascension process, that it's difficult, but you know, you can get through it. So yeah, let me just get started with how I discovered my abilities. It's a long story, but I'm just going to touch on the key points that I've been able to identify in my life that really shaped the course of how I got here. First and foremost, I'm an 80s baby, born in 84. And funny story, which I'll go into in another episode, I learned years later, I'm a master number 33 in numerology, which is basically an ascended master, a spiritual teacher, because I was born March 26, 1984. So even literally from the day I was born, the stars have kind of been aligned for me to do this type of work. But I always knew as a little kid that I was different. I never felt like a regular person. And early on, as 6 or 7, I remember the depression and the sadness kicking in. And, it, you know, and it breaks my heart to think of me as this little girl already sad. But the truth was, I was clairsentient and I didn't know it. So clairsentient is the ability to feel and receive information through how you feel. So you're not only just picking up of the emotions of people, but you're able to pick up the emotions of spaces, objects. You're just in tune to the vibration of what's around you. So I was overwhelmed, not even because I was emotionally depressed. I hadn't lived life enough to be depressed, but I was depressed because I had been channeling a lot of the pain and the suffering around me. And growing up in Harlem, at that time in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, it was like the crack epidemic. So I was seeing poverty, I was seeing drugs. It was just a lot for me. And I remember even when it came down to Disney movies, I had asked my mom when I was around like 9 or 10, I'm like, I don't want to see any more Disney movies because they used to make me so depressed. You know, Bambi, his mom getting murdered by a hunter, Dumbo, you know, the elephant that got kidnapped and was tortured in the circus, All Dogs Go to Heaven. Like, it was just like dark. It was really, really, really dark. And I remember being a little kid and just like feeling like, what the fuck? Like, where am I? Why is there so much pain here? I used to ask my mom that all the time. Why is there so much pain here? Why is there so much pain here? So I was channeling the heaviness of this world early on. And by the time I got to junior high school, I had, on top of being very sensitive, and you know that if you're a sensitive person, people are always going to say to you, you overthink too much. But by the time I got to junior high school, I had already been, you know, bullied, because I, not only clearly was I different, but I looked different. I have always worn glasses, and I used to have these really thick Coke bottle plastic looking ones. And also when I moved to Harlem, which at the time was predominantly black, I used to get made fun of because I talked too proper, I guess. I don't know, but I had just really been bullied. And so my mind started to convince me, okay, well, something's wrong with you, because everybody else here can function. People can watch fights. People can watch, you know, not everybody is like sensitive. And when a child gets bullied, and unfortunately we're seeing a lot of this now where all of these young children, these beautiful souls, they're taking their lives because they don't understand, again, why there's so much pain here. See, when you're a child, your soul is right from source. So you're still you're still connected to what's pure, what's good. You may even be connected to your previous lifetime. So for those souls that are coming in that are in tune, it's gonna feel very raw here and very wrong here, right? Anyway, so by the time I got up to junior high school, I was in private school. My mom figured that I should go to private school and get out of the hood because I was just having such a difficult time socially. And, you know, private school was challenging for me as well because I knew on a deep level that a lot of the things that we were learning in school was wrong too. I just knew society was wrong. But anyway, I had developed what is called dysmorphia at that point, which basically means when you look in the mirror, you see a distorted version of yourself that others don't. I convinced myself that I was fat. I convinced myself that I was ugly. I convinced myself that I was just like a horrible human being. And just like thinking about it, it's like I'm just like mentally hugging 13-year-old me because it's like, oh goodness, I had no idea that I was, you know, this like beautiful unicorn. So anyway, so I'm in private school and I'm not really connecting to people. Even though I was popular in private school, people still didn't like me. It was one of those weird anomalies. You know, I was popular in the sense that I always spoke my mind, and I think powerful people were just magnetic. But I think we can also be a turnoff, right? Because sometimes people have this concept of like, who do you think you are to say that? And it's like, you know, but you can share your truth too. So anyway, I started to kind of be a loner in junior high, and I would go to Barnes and Nobles all the time. Books is where I found my peace. And through, I don't even know how, I would say the universe aligning me, I discovered the New Age section. And this is back in 1998. This is before spirituality was cool. This is before, you know, words like empath was, you know, this was, no one was talking about stuff like this. In fact, you know, whenever I bought tarot cards home or candles or books, my mom used to throw them away because she didn't know, you know, what it was. She didn't know if it was like dark magic. Like she didn't know. And I finally started to feel like things made sense to me. I would read these stories of ancient times and it didn't feel like new information. It felt like memories almost. It felt like home. Even one of the first pair of tarot cards I had, they're ancient Egyptian cards. I still have them to this day. It's what I use in my readings. And I remember telling my mom, I'm like, don't throw these away. She threw away. And I'm 14 years old. Could you imagine telling your mother, don't throw something away? And it was almost like she knew to respect those cards. And those cards ended up being the cards I ended up using in readings, you know, like 20 years later. But when I was 13, this was the beginning of my ascension. This was the beginning of my remembering. And it came through pain. I gotta be honest now. You know, things are going to get a little dark really quickly, but everything turned out okay because I'm still here. But, you know, when I was 13, unfortunately, I decided I couldn't take it. I couldn't be on Earth anymore. I didn't want to be here. And I decided to kill myself. And I was just so depressed. And the weight of the world was just heavy on me, not realizing that I was channeling. And so I cut school one day. I don't know what triggered it. I think I had a homework assignment due and I didn't do it. And I was just tired of the pressure of having to do homework. I was tired of the pressure of hearing my mom. It was just like the pressure of the system of Earth was just, it was too much. It was just too much. And I made the decision to, unfortunately, slip my wrists. And, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, mental health is something that I'm going to talk about in a lot of these episodes, especially when I get into a lot of the readings I've done and information that's come through, because I think people underestimate how much we are all suffering mentally because of the weight of this system. Anyway, so the moment that I put that blade to my wrist was the moment that my whole life changed. This, to me, when I look back on everything, was the beginning of my awakening. Because after that first slit, I heard loud as day, clear as day, like to the point where I looked up and I looked around. It was like this laugh, and it was like, yeah, you're not dying today. What are you doing? And I remember thinking in my head, like, what? So I slit my other wrist, and I heard the voice again, loud and clear. Yeah, you're not dying today, Alexis. So then I gave it another go, and I heard it again, like, yeah, all you're gonna do is just mess your wrist up. And I remember thinking, like, what is going on? Now, when I told my friends about this a couple of days later, they were telling me that that was just my mind kicking in because I didn't really want to do it. But I can tell you with full confidence, I did want to do it. And it was something that I had wanted to do for a long time, even afterwards. So with clear mind and spirit, I did not want to be on this earth anymore. It wasn't so much that I wanted to die or I wanted to kill myself. I didn't want to be here. I didn't feel like I belonged here. Imagine feeling like you were born in the wrong time, or you're like a traveler and you were dropped off in like the wrong dimension. That's the only way I can describe how it has felt for me being here. As if all of my family, all of my friends, everything I know is in a whole different part of history, you know, or like being an alien in a different place. I don't, that's the only way I can describe it, but I know for sure it wasn't my mind, you know, kicking in. It was an outside voice. It wasn't me. It wasn't my conscience. So I'm thinking, okay, you know what, because it's not working, because I slipped my wrist a good couple of times in that moment. I mean, I was pretty determined. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go upstairs to the roof, and I'm going to jump off the roof. Because, you know, I lived in New York City. We have tall buildings. And what I now know is my spirit guides and my angels, but the voice said to me, yeah, and then you'll get paralyzed, and then you'll really be mad. Alexis, you are here for a reason, and you are not dying today. And that was the beginning of me becoming clairaudient, because from that day forward, the voices have not stopped. The voices have not stopped. And, you know, you're living in this world, you hear voices in your head, you're crazy. Like I said, this is back in 1998. It wasn't even a thought of this person may be a medium, or this person may be experiencing clairaudiency. Like, that wasn't even discussed. So here I am now, depressed. I have dysmorphia. I am constantly channeling people's emotions. I'm channeling the vibrations of the spaces that I'm in. And what's so crazy is when I look back and I research the dates of the buildings that I grew up in, both buildings were built in like 1913 and 1917, and I used to experience night tremors. Like, I used to wake up screaming bloody murder, which I later on found out when I started researching mediums, when I discovered that I was a medium, that a lot of us, we get night tremors as kids because we're seeing spirit, and we're freaking out, even though we don't know that that's what's going on. So now I'm hearing voices in my head, okay? And I'm a young lady, I'm a young teenager, and this also changed the course of my life, because like I told you guys, I was in private school, and I had applied to go to only boarding schools in high school, and I got accepted to one of the best boarding schools in the United States, which is Emory Willard. But because of my failed suicide attempt, my mother and the guidance counselors agreed that it would be best that I not go away. Now, the reason why this changed the course of my life is because I did not have a backup plan. So I ended up having to go to a zone school in New York City. Now, imagine this. Someone that just came from private school for 3 years, thick glasses, already being made fun of, okay, for being a dork. Mind you, I'm a dork in a school full of dorks, so that should give you that should give you some reference, okay? And now I have to go to Park West, which was considered one of the like, worst high schools at the time. I was like, I don't even know the right phrase to say it, but it's like a sheep amongst wolves. So first week in school, it was like clear to me, yeah, I'm not going to go here. And that's when I habitually started cutting and going to Barnes and Nobles. And that's where the beginning of my self-education began. And this is around 15 years old. This is like ninth grade. And I didn't know, it's funny because when I look back now, all of that whole period where I felt like I was so lost was actually preparing me for this life that I live now. Because I didn't realize that all of this research and all of these books about auras and chakras and energy and meditation and channeling, that all of these things that I just genuinely found interesting would provide me with the backbone and the foundation to help thousands of people. But you gotta understand, at that time, I just felt like a lost soul. And my mom kicked me out of the house a few times because I was truant. She thought I wasn't listening. It was a really dark phase. And the universe stepped in and saved my life because my mom got a referral to this alternative high school. Really small, really amazing. I got in and I was able to relax a bit. And see, here's the thing. Park West had like thousands of kids. And because I was clairsentient and didn't know I was clairsentient, that was why I had so much anxiety being in that school. I needed to be in a place that had a small amount of people, like my junior high. I understand that now, but at the time I didn't know why I had so much anxiety around crowds. I mean, it was almost debilitating. And so when I got to my high school, you know, I'm trying to be cool, so I started drinking. Now, because I hear these voices in my head, right? It's not cool to be crazy. So it was cool to drink. It was cool to smoke. So I would drink and I would smoke. And apparently I would read people all the time, which I didn't know. My friends would tell me this after, you know, the next day, like, girl, you was talking about this girl's mama and you was freaking people out, because it was like, how did you know? And I wouldn't remember these things. I would be blackout drunk, you know, self-medicating. And so I didn't really pay any mind to when people would say that, but I did notice that people started calling me like Miss Cleo, and I couldn't understand why, and it used to actually really annoy me. But when I got to be 17, that's when the vision started. That's when scenes would just play out in my mind and then later on happen. The first time that it actually happened, and when I think about it, I think I was actually experiencing mediumship for the first time, but I always assumed it was my clairvoyance, meaning the ability to see. But the first time it happened, my best friend, her boyfriend had got murdered, and may he rest in peace. And she had four sisters, and he was close to everybody in her family. And so we had cut school that day. And listen, you guys are going to hear me mention that I cut school a lot, because I did. But we had cut school that day, and I'll never forget this. I was smoking a cigarette, which I don't do anymore. No shade to anybody that smokes cigarettes, but, you know, it's so weird looking back as a kid. It was like, I really thought I was grown. But, so I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm looking out the window. And all of a sudden, I see this scene in my mind. It was like as clear as day. I saw my best friend's little sister walking up the stairs and the neighbor coming out of her door and telling my best friend's little sister, I'm sorry for your loss. And her sister being shocked and surprised and not knowing what happened. And then the scene ended, and it was almost like robotically, I turned around and I looked at my best friend and I'm like, did you tell her yet? Does she know? And my friend was like, no, what are you talking about? She doesn't know yet. I'm like, you got to tell her. Someone's going to tell her. She has to hear from you guys. She has to hear from you guys. And my friend was like, you're like bugging out right now. Like, relax. And it's so funny because, again, in retrospect, you know, I'm going to have a lot of these moments. Looking back, that was probably one of the beginning of that friendship ending too, because I started to freak my friends out. I really did. Like, low-key, I started to freak them out. But I didn't even, they told me this years later, but at the time, it didn't even cross my mind that I was psychic. That was the last furthest thing I thought I was crazy. I thought I was broken. I thought I was weird. I even thought I was an alien. The psychic? No. An ancient soul? No. None of those things. I didn't even know. I didn't even conceptually. It just didn't cross my mind. So anyway, so my friend is like, all right, relax. We'll tell her today when she gets home from school. Why she gets a call like an hour later from her older sister saying that the little sister's freaking out. She was coming up the stairs from school and the neighbor came out. Like literally the exact same thing that I said was going to happen, happened. And me and my best friend looked at each other like, what? She's like, how did you know that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. And that's when the vision started. When he died. And the voices started getting louder. And I always say to people, what's crazier? Hearing voices in your head or finding out that the voices that you hear are real? Because it's like, it's just madness either way. It dawned on me that I might be schizophrenic. You know, because when you're clairsentient, right, that ability to feel, you're going to exhibit symptoms of being bipolar. Your moods are going to be all over the place because you're picking up other people's moods all the time. And if you don't know that, you're just going to feel very manic. So when you add the voices in and then the visions, and now, you know, I'm at a point where I'm like having conversations with the voices in my head because they're not, it's not coming from me. You know the difference between talking to yourself than talking to someone else, because when you're talking to yourself, it's your own thoughts. When you're talking to another person, they're introducing new concepts to you. So I was having full-blown conversations in my mind and I was concerned. I was concerned about that. So I looked up schizophrenia and I pretty much had all the symptoms. And that night I cried myself to sleep. Okay, I'm 17 at this point, 17 or 18 at this point, in high school now. I cried myself to sleep because I couldn't believe that on top of everything that I have gone through, right? Because I've been abused mentally, spiritually, sexually, physically. I mean, I've been through a lot. And to go through all of those things, a failed suicide attempt, now, you know, I'm walking around like pissed that I'm here. To come to the conclusion, like, and I'm also crazy, it was very overwhelming for me. And I cried myself to sleep that night. And that next morning was the next pivot, I would say, in my ascension or awakening process. The next thing that my mind references as what changed the course of my life. Because let me just pause before I even say that. You gotta rewind. When I was in boarding school, if I never attempted suicide, I don't know if I was ever gonna activate hearing my guide so clearly. Not saying that you need to do that to become clairaudient. I'm just talking about my own story, what was for me. And in me doing that, I was denied going to boarding school. Now, I feel like if I ended up going to boarding school, I would be a completely different, I might be a doctor, a lawyer. I might be a whole different, I would have maybe lived a whole different life. I might have developed, you know, a drug problem. I could have ended up in a hospital the rest of my life. I don't know. But I know that a lot of the traumatic events that at the time seemed traumatic, I can see was literally chiseling out the road that I was destined to walk to lead me here. All right, so let's get back to 17. I'm crying myself to sleep because I really think that I'm schizophrenic. That next morning, the phone rings. My mom is ironing her clothes for work. I'm getting ready for school, and it's my grandmother. And I thought that that was bizarre. Now, my grandmother lived 10 blocks away from me. She had lived up the block from us my whole life, but we weren't close. Even though I spent summers with her, I would go to her house all the time on the weekends when I needed to be babysat. We just never were close. We never spoke. I was always told to hang out with my older cousin who never really wanted to talk to me. So I just always felt like I was by myself when I was at her house. So I thought it was weird that she would call me. We didn't have that kind of relationship. So I get on the phone and I'm just like, hey, Grandma, what's going on? And she says, hey, so I had a dream last night that you were crying. Don't worry, you're not crazy. I want you to come to my house after school and I'll explain it to you. And I remember being completely shocked. Like, what? And she giggles, right? She goes, yeah, don't worry. Just come to my house after school. So I'm trying to ask her questions on the phone. And she's like, Alexis, you got to get ready for school. Just come to my house after school. And that whole day I was freaking out. Like, how does she know? And I'm like, well, maybe my mom heard me crying and then called her. I couldn't figure it out. But I'm like, I don't think my mom heard me crying because I was crying in my pillow. And I didn't tell my mom that I thought that I was schizophrenic. So how would my grandmother know that I think I'm crazy? Like, I couldn't figure it out. So I get to her house after school. And she says to me straight up, yeah, so the women in our family, some of us have very special abilities. Not all the women, but you have them. She said, your mom has them. She thinks I don't know, but she does. And I have them. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she winks at me and she says, I know it sounds crazy, but you are very gifted. And your gifts will help many people. And even though you don't understand them now, I just want you to know it's okay to be a little bit scared, but you don't have to. And in the 2 weeks that I spent hanging out with her every single day after school, she revealed to me her own abilities, which blew my mind. Those 2 weeks, I got more closer to her than I did up until the 17 years of my life. And school had ended, and I got a job at a summer camp while she was away in Georgia doing some business with the family. And I remember this panicked feeling, like I needed my mom to let my grandmother know that I had got a job at a summer camp and that I would be back, and I was almost panicked about it. And she said, okay, I'll let her know. But unfortunately, she never knew because my grandmother ended up getting a heart attack and passing away. And couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that for 2 weeks prior, it was the most crazy, miraculous, unbelievable experience I had with her, and then she was gone. And the reason why this is such an important part of my ascension story and my journey is because the time I spent with her in those 2 weeks was the first time that I began to think that maybe I'm not crazy. But at that point, I had already developed a really bad habit with drinking through self-medicating. And I was already deep mentally into self-loathing and confusement. So even though my mind started to think, well, maybe there's something else going on, I already had these roots that were deep in like darkness. And I don't mean darkness like in a scary way. I mean darkness meaning like I was dealing with a lot of heavy shit psychologically, and I didn't have anywhere to really unpack it. So when she died, it was like my mind almost snapped a little bit, because for the first time I had someone that I could talk to, and now they were gone. And it was like, now I'm back alone, and now I'm just starting from one again. And I didn't know what to do. And that's when ultimately, a couple of years later, I decided to up and move to Las Vegas, because I just needed to get away from everybody that just assume so much about me. You ever feel like people feel like they know you better than you know yourself, and no matter how much you try to change or how much you try to evolve, they just yank you back down into the box that they feel you belong in? That's how it felt for me. I felt like in order for me to get to a point where I can look within and figure out what was going on with me, I needed to step away. little did I know that me moving to Las Vegas was going to be kind of like when Jesus went to the wilderness and was tempted by the devil, because holy cow, that was the next level of the challenge in my ascension when I got to Vegas. And I'll also say that that's when the universe kicked it up a notch and started talking to me, and a lot of crazy, weird-ass, unbelievable things started happening. And that's where I'm going to end this episode right here. And I'm excited because stay tuned for episode 2, which is going to be a bonus episode that has to do with why I know the Matrix is real. And I know you guys are like, what? How do you get from the Matrix to this? Because like I said, when I got to Vegas, a lot of crazy shit started happening. And one of which is I met Sophia Stewart, who is the woman that has claimed to have written the Matrix and that the story was stolen from her. So that was wild. So yeah, if you made it this far, you are amazing. I love you. And don't forget to subscribe. If you have any questions, any thoughts, any comments, please feel free to leave them below if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can always just contact me. My email is wehomanifest@gmail.com. Anyway, I hope you have an amazing day, and I will catch you in the next episode. Peace.